The 79th Karika defines freedom as absolute dispassion is freedom. Absolute dispassion is freedom. And knowledge is absolute dispassion. So what is absolute, what is passion, what is, you know, absolute what is absolute dispassion here? See, detachment is equal to absolute dispassion. So what is detachment now? Seeing the world as reality, or seeing the world as a source of happiness, or seeing the world as responsible for one's unhappiness is attachment to the world. Now, what attachment? If a person has raga, attachment, passion, or dvesha, aversion towards anything in the world, then that person is attached to the world. So entertaining passion or aversion towards anything in the world is attachment to the world. Attachment with the world, being attached to the world. When do you have liking towards an object? When you think that given object is a source of happiness, you have raga, liking towards the object. When you think a given object is responsible, a given person or behavior is responsible for unhappiness, then you have dvesha. Raga and dvesha are possible, like or dislike towards anything in the world is possible, only if you think the world of objects is the source of happiness, then you can have liking towards the world, attachment, a passion for the world. When you think the world is responsible for your unhappiness, then you have dvesha towards the person, the world. Understand? This is possible only when you do not know that yourself being the source of happiness. When in the wake of knowledge of the self, when you discover your real nature being fullness and happiness, then you are not dependent on the world for your happiness or happiness, then you will see the world being not the source of happiness, not being responsible for your unhappiness. Now, what is the cause of unhappiness? I told you in the class many times, not knowing what happiness is the cause of unhappiness. Not knowing what fullness is the cause of inadequacy. Sense of inadequacy, hunted on I. Not knowing what security is the cause of insecurity. What makes you feel insecure? Your ignorance of what security is. What makes you have sense of inadequacy? Kuraihalai udayavan. What makes you see a person of inadequacy? Your ignorance of what fullness is. Your ignorance of what happiness is the cause of what happiness is the cause of your unhappiness. Therefore, here, in the wake of knowledge of this self being identical with consciousness, Brahman, the reality of the whole, which is in the form of the existence of the whole, you discover your nature being fullness. In discovering the fullness, happiness being your own real nature, you become independent of the world for your happiness. Only then you are free from emotional dependence. that being free from emotional dependence upon the world for your happiness or security is freedom. Okay, in discovering this freedom, in discovering this fullness, when you're reveling in fullness, nothing in the world can make you unhappy also. When you understand the world being neither responsible for my unhappiness, the world is not neither a source of happiness, when you understand that, then you are free from what? Passion or aversion towards the world. You're free from attachment. So being dispassionate implies being free from both passion and aversion towards the world is equal to being dispassionate. Not only passion, being dispassionate does not imply that being free from passion. You are free from both passion and aversion. Aversion also include. Being free from both passion and aversion, likes and dislikes, raga and dvesha is equal to being dispassionate. Okay? That being dispassionate is dispassion. The dispassion is detachment. So detachment is equal to dispassion. Dispassion is equal to being dispassionate. Being dispassionate is equal to being free from both passion and aversion towards the world. Isn't it? Which is possible only in knowledge. You must revel in the vision of your real nature, your fullness, when only then you are independent of the world. Unless and until you discover your real nature being fullness, there will be sense of inadequacy centered on I. Unless and until you discover yourself being the very security, there will be sense of insecurity centered on I. And then, as long as there is sense of inadequacy, smallness, insecurity centered on I, there will be dependence on the world for your security and happiness. And you will, then you are attached to the world. You have pash, raga and dvesha towards the world. Understand? And as long as that is there, the samsara will continue to be there. How long will there be samsara? No, samsara will be there continuously, endlessly, as long as you have passion or aversion towards the world of objects. And that will be there as long as you entertain the notion your perception of the world is wrong. What is the perception of the world? Seeing the world as a source of security is an erroneous perception of the world. Seeing the world as responsible for unhappiness also is what? Erroneous perception of the world. Because of this person's behavior, because of this person, I am unhappy. Because of this person, I incurred losses. Because of this association, I have. All my problems are because of other people, others' behavior, the world, the situations. You put the blame on others and say, I'm unhappy because of others in the world. You say, it means what? You have aversion, isn't it? Towards the world. And that is also what? Attachment to the world. And when this is, when I like this person very much, because she makes me happy, he makes me happy in her presence, in her association, in this person's behavior. And so, I forget myself, the pleasure, therefore I like this. What makes you like anything? Idiotic, isn't it? The liking is because I forget myself. I lose myself. Shame goes there. That's why I feel what? Oh, I like this. When you watch television, I like this program very much. Why? Because completely I forget myself. My smallness is resolved for some time, then like it. It's a pleasure. See, any object of pleasure, any pleasure is desirable because the pleasure is a state of mind which you entertain when you forget yourself. In forgetting yourself, the smallness centered on I is also resolved for a short time. Whenever the sense of smallness centered on I is resolved, you know, when you forget yourself, isn't it? Then what happens? The state of mind you have is pleasure. It's a fraction of fullness. That is experience, isn't it? That's what we like. Then we think there's attachment towards the world. Therefore, this passion or aversion towards the world, raga dvesha, likes and dislikes towards the world, are inevitable. They'll be there as long as you do not discover yourself being fullness, your real nature being fullness. As long as there is sense of insecurity and the inadequacy centered on I is there, the wrong notions about the self are there. So here what he says, samsara will be there. But in the wake of the knowledge of one's real nature being fullness, in resolving the sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I, when you discover yourself being the source of security and happiness, you become independent of the world. Your perception of the world, the perception of the world, the error in the perception of the world also becomes corrected. Which means you do not see the world as a source of security anymore. You do not see the world as a source of unhappiness also, respond for your unhappiness. Then when you do not have neither passion or aversion, that is when you become independent of the world. If I say happiness and security, then you are free from emotional dependence. Then there is no samsara. Then the world is, samsara is not there anymore. Where is samsara? It is all in your buddhi. Is samsara outside the world? No. Samsara inside you? No. Where is samsara? There is samsara neither inside nor outside. Where is samsara? Where is this bondage? Isn't it? The bondage is in your notion. Understand? Therefore, correct the notion, wrong notions. Through knowledge, you will see samsara disappearing. That's why the whole samsara is like the fear caused by a snake. Understand? The whole world, the whole samsara is called what? The fear caused by snake. The maya, the avidya, the ignorance, which is a cause of samsara, is like a rope, a snake. Your real nature is like what? The rope. In you discover your real nature, then you don't need to chase the, don't need to locate the, where this snake is, where has it gone, where has it come from. You need not worry at all. In the wake of knowledge of the rope, the snake will resolve. You are not killing, destroying the snake. The snake will resolve, disappear. In the disappearance of the snake, the fear caused by snake also will resolve along with the snake. Kundodu Kailas. Along with that, it will go. Please, that is Swastram says, all the outcomes work for jnanam. Work for the knowledge. Try to discuss. Don't any questions come. Leave them all. It's all the questions come only when you give importance for the snake. Isn't it? First of all, how to resolve the snake? Understand what is. Understand what is. If you understand what is rope, snake will resolve. Snake caused fear also will resolve. So ignorance will resolve. Ignorance caused samsara also will resolve. That is why never ask the question, when did ignorance begin? Where did the ignorance come from? If it is there, you can talk about it. When was the snake born? If it is, it must be there now for you to, first of all, establish the existence of You can't even establish the existence of the snake. Shastram says, please understand what is, what you are. In knowing what you are, clearly, repeatedly listen, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, again and again and again and again. In ascertaining what you are, clearly, you will see everything will disappear. Which means what? Disappear means it will not disappear. How will it disappear? When we were children, before even being exposed to any school education at all, and then every day we see the sunrise and sunset, we think sun rises in the east, sun sets in the west. In India exactly, only east rising, sun setting in the west. Here, any directions I don't find in the Now, sometimes it looks as the sun comes this side. Anyway, we were taught kizhakkil, udikkiran, merkil, marahiran, kindergarten lesson. Okay? Rises in the east and sets in the sun, so clear. This is our perception. And the perception continues to be now, even now perception is there. We always, there is we perceive what? Sunrise and sunset, isn't it? But what is the fact? After being exposed to school education, we understand sun does not rise, does not set, sun is always there. This earth alone rotating itself comes around the sun. Therefore, we have what? It looks as though sun rises and sunsets. Really, there is no sunrise and sunset. We are perceiving the sunrise and sunset, but in our conclusion is what? We conclude. In our conclusion, sun does not rise, sun does not set. Without denying our perception, accepting our perception, having the perception, now being with the perception, our conclusion is different. Similarly, understand, being with the world, seeing oneself, relatively seeing oneself as the waker, seeing the world as object, perceiving the duality, being with the duality, see, being with everything also, conclusion must be what? Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the knower, am Turiya Atma, the non-dual, secondless reality, the consciousness. Conclusion must be that. Perception must be duality. Conclusion must be non-dual reality. Conclusion is of the non-duality of the reality of the self. Perception is what? Of the duality of the waker experiencer and the waking universe. Understand? What is your perception? What is your conclusion? Conclusion is of the fact and the experience is of the perception. Isn't it? Perception. There is no denial here. That must be there. Therefore, he says, how long will there be samsaraha? That is, he defends here.
Abhuta bhiniveshadhi
sadrishetat pravartate
vastvabhavam sabuddhvaiva
nissangam vinivartate.
So, pravartate, see the first verb, pravartate means continues to exist. Nivartate means goes away, resolves. Continues to be there means pravartate. Nivartate means goes away, resolves. So, what goes away, what resolves? Samsaraha resolves. The bondage resolves. Bondage resolves means all the heaviness centered on I, the fear resolves, anger resolves, desire resolves, you know, the pairs of opposites, all this pain and pleasure, all of them resolve. Resolve means what? They're all there, but I have them, will not be there. Isn't it? So all of them, the samsara will resolve. Samsaraha resolves. Which samsara resolves here? He says, abhuta abhiniveshat samsaraha pravartate. Tat sadrushe, tat means this jagat samsaraha pravartate. This world of duality continues to be the mithya jagat, continues to be a real jagat in our perception, is it? What is perceptually real is mistaken to be absolutely real, isn't it? Continues to be there. Similarly, samsara always continues to be there. How long? Abhuta abhiniveshat. What is the cause of this? Abhuta abhiniveshaha. Abhiniveshaha. No? Abhinivesha means strong, rooted, non-deletable, strong rooted erroneous notion about the self. Very wrong notion. I am born. And this wrong notion is because of what? Strong rooted identity with the anatma body, mind sense complex. It's called abhiniveshaha. Abhiniveshaha means the strong erroneous notion caused by strong erroneous perception, wrong identity with the anatma body mind sense complex. The long sentence I have to give to say what is abhiniveshaha. It means it has gone into you. It has become one with you. It is inseparable from you. Isn't it? How strong this notion is, it is you. The notion is part of you now, my God, the individual. The notion is there as you. Like how the hair, the nail are part of you, the notion you entertain about yourself, the thought is also what now? Is there as you. Isn't it? Strong notion. And that notion is caused by what? Wrong identity. The strong erroneous perception of the self, the strong wrong identity with the body, mind, and complex as I am, isn't it? That is called abhiniveshaha. And that, really speaking, abhuta abhiniveshaha, which is not real. Abhuta abhiniveshaha, the strong identity which is not real. Actually, abhuta means which is not really there. Which is not, the body mind complex which is not absolutely real, isn't it? Therefore, abhuta abhiniveshat alone, that is what? Samsaraha pravartate. Everything is mithya here. Ignorance is mithya. Ignorance caused samsara is mithya. I told you, what is ignorance? Ignorance is like a snake. What is fear? Fear is, what samsara is like a fear caused by the snake. Therefore, it is abhuta abhinivesha, means which is not really there. The snake which is not really there, it seems to be there. Understand? The snake which is really there, the snake caused fear also is there because of the lack of vision of what is the rope. Similarly, what is, the lack of the vision of what you are, what really is the cause of the something called ignorance, isn't it? It is there. It seems to be, really speaking, it is not there. Abhuta abhinivesat. Abhuta means which is mithya. Because of it, which is not really there, which seems to be there. Seems to be there. Because of that, the seemingly real ignorance, the ignorance caused erroneous perception, wrong identity, strong identity, strong notions. What is there? Sadrishe tat pravarte. Sadrishe means the similar. This sadrishe implies jagat and samsara. The world of duality and samsara this which is seemingly real world of duality, seemingly real samsara, are there because of the seemingly real what? Ignorance, ignorance caused wrong notions. Tat pravartate. Then next sentence. Vastu abhavam buddhvaiva. Saha buddhvaiva. Vastu abhavam means what? Vastu here means the duality. Abhavam, vastu abhavam means the absence of duality, isn't it? The mithyatvam of duality. Buddhvaya means only after having understood the duality being mithya, through the vision of the satya, that he is not saying, we have to understand. Only through the vision of the reality as one's own real nature. When you say vision of the reality, not as an object. Only through the vision of the reality as one's own nature, underline this sentence. Only through the vision of the reality as one's own real nature. When you understand the duality being not there, in the wake of knowledge of the oneness of the reality, non-duality of the reality, secondlessness of the reality as one's own real nature, when you resolve the duality being not there, then what happens? Nissangam vinivartate. Understand? Then samsara also resolves. Then how does all samsara goes here? Nissangam, being nissa, without being attached, without any attachment. Nissangam here means dependence upon the world. Nissangam means without the dependence upon the independence, the freedom from dependence upon the world happens, which means the dependence upon the world, attachment to the world also goes away. Understand? How long will you be dependent on the world? As long as you're dependent on the world for your security and happiness, you're attached to the world, there is samsara. When do you become detached from the world? The world will continue to be there. Same world which was there before will continue to be there, but you are not attached to the world anymore. You do not see the world as security or happiness anymore, which means you have neither passion or aversion towards the world. Only when you revel in fullness, isn't it? Therefore, nissangam vinivartate means the samsara goes, resolves, when you become free from dependence upon the world. Again, what does he say now? Buddhva eva. Only through knowledge. Why he repeats? Because we want to ask, what about bhakti? What about japa? What about yoga? What about pranayama practice? What about that practice? What about meditation practice? Why can't I attend? No. Nisangam na vinivartate jagat. Nothing will make you independent. See, detachment from the world, is impossible unless and until you discover your real nature. See, dependence upon the world will be there continuously as long as there is wrong perception of the world. Wrong perception of the world will be there as long as the perception of one's own self is also wrong. And that will be there as long as ignorance is there. Is what order, okay? As long as ajnanam is there, there will be erroneous self-perception. As long as error in the perception of oneself is, there will be error in the perception of the world. As long as error in the perception of the world is there, there will be raga and dvesha. there will be attachment. That's called samsaraha. Attachment to the world is being dependent upon the, being passionate, okay? Attachment to the world is samsaraha. Detachment from the world is freedom. How long will there be attachment? As long as dependence is there, isn't it? How long will you be dependent? As long as you see the world, as long as your perception of the world is wrong. How long will your perception of the world be wrong? As long as your perception of yourself is wrong. How long will it be there? As long as you're ignorant of yourself. Finally, I got this point. I helped you. Understand? So, self-ignorance results in erroneous self-perception. Erroneous self-perception also gives rise to erroneous perception of the world. Erroneous perception of the world results in dependence upon the world. Dependence upon the world is bondage. In self-knowledge, error, you know, the self-perception is corrected, right perception. In right perception of the self, in right identity, aham, brahma, asmi, that right perception of the self, right cognition of the self, what happens? The perception of the world also becomes corrected. Error in the perception gets corrected. When the error in the perception of the world is corrected, then the error, isn't it? The dependence also what? Resolves. When you become independent of the world, when you are free from attachment to the world, you are free from bondage. Attachment to the world is equal to bondage. Detachment from the world is equal to freedom. Detachment is being depends upon the world. What does it mean? Having right perception of the world. Right perception of the world is right perception of one's own self. Right perception of one's own self is right knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. You don't have wrong knowledge, isn't it? Now there is knowledge, ignorance of the self. So what do you need to do? What is the problem actually? The two errors have to be corrected. What is bondage here? Bondage is caused by, dependence is bondage. Bondage is caused by what? Erroneous perception of the world. Is bondage. Dependence is bondage. Independence is freedom. When are you dependent? When are you independent? In wrong perception of the world, you are dependent. In right perception of the world, you are independent. Right perception of the world is possible only when the perception of yourself is right. For you to have the right perception of yourself, you should know what you are. Therefore, what is required? Knowledge or meditation? Karma. Jnanam uta karma. Kim apekshate atra. Jnanam va karma va. You know, that, no, that the parrot in the parrot, no, is in this Acharya's house. The parrot will always say, Jnanam. The parrot speaks all the time, you know. Jnana deva kaivalyam. It is knowledge. What you want is knowledge, not karma. No mental activity, no meditation, no japa, no bhakti. What is bhakti? There's no exalted devotion than knowledge. No, knowledge is the exalted form of devotion, bhakti. And the real devotion is that earning, that burning urge for knowledge is real devotion. Everything else is devotion. Okay, now, okay. Here, so worshipping and praying, worship is very important, but worship is not, will not remove your ignorance. Prayer is very, very important. You have to be prayerful, but prayer will not remove your ignorance. Meditation, japaha, following all the disciplines, Everything is very, very important, without which knowledge cannot be attained, but will not remove ignorance. What you want for removal of ignorance is knowledge. Buddha. He repeats in every verse, please carefully note, he uses the term Buddha, 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 Buddha. Only through knowledge you can resolve the ignorance of the self. In resolving the ignorance of the self, you correct the error, isn't it? Error in the perception of yourself. When you correct the error in the perception of yourself, you correct the error in the perception of the world also. In correcting the error in the perception of the world, you become free from dependence. No, you become free from attachment to the world. Being free from attachment to the world is being independent. Independence is freedom, mokshaha. Is it clear? Therefore, how long will there be pravartate nivartate? When does sangha nivartate? When does attach that freedom? Samsara resolves the minute attachment resolves. Attachment resolves when your perception of the world is corrected. Perception of the world is corrected, the perception of the self is corrected. Perception of the self becomes corrected once you know what the self is. So what do you need? Jnanam. Not Dhyanam. Jnanam you need, not Dhyanam. You need jnanam, not japa. You need jnanam, not puja. You need jnanam, not bhakti. Understand? But I am not saying you don't need bhakti. You need food to appease your hunger, but it will not remove your ignorance. Oh, jnanam alone will free me from bondage, so I don't need to eat any food at all. What stupid Swamiji is saying? I am not saying that. Please go home and eat very well, stomach full, and sleep also if you want to sleep afterwards. Listen, repeat for 2 hours, my God, 2.5 hours, what has she said? Only one thing has been repeating in the whole class, isn't it? So don't say that. But what I'm saying is, we need everything, but what you need for freedom from bondage is jnanam. In ajnanam, samsaraha happily continues. In jnanam, samsara resolves. Kutra pravartanam, kutra nivartanam. When does it resolve? When does it continue to exist? In ignorance, it continues to be there. Okay? The 80th verse is a beautiful verse. I'll with that, I'll stop. Okay? Nivruttasya pravruttasya
Nivruttasya pravruttasya
Nischalahi tadasthitihi Vishayasahi buddhanam
Vishayasahi buddhanam
Tatsamyamajamadvayam
Tatsamyamajamadvayam.
See, nivruttaha pravruttaha, apravruttaha. Nivruttaha, then apravruttaha. Nivruttaha means the one who is, literally it means retired person, but here the one who is free from all wrong notions about this self. One who is free from bondage. Nivruttaha. Apravruttaha. The one who is free from all wrong notions about the self. Reveling, no? Is also what? Apravrittaha. One who is not involved in any more effort to prove himself to be somebody is called apravrittaha. When do you become a pravrittaha? Always we involve in ourselves in something or the other. Only when there is an effort to prove ourselves to be somebody. Isn't it? See, doing, physically being active without the doership is just living the life, living the paravda with objectivity. But doing your physical, being physically active with the doership is what is actually there's no doing the actions in the world, no being subjective in the world. So apravrittaha implies the objective person. Objective means the one who is active physically but without the doership and enjoyership. The man of objectivity, the one who has vision of, one who is the person of objectivity, who lives his life, lives his prarabdha unafflictedly, without the doership and enjoyership, isn't it? It's called apravrittaha, which means he performs actions, but not to prove himself to be somebody, but to live his prarabdha. Whereas, then nivrittaha, who is that person? Apravrittaha, who is the person of objectivity, who is not involved in activities with doership and enjoyership, isn't it? That person is the one who is free from all wrong notions about the self. Nivrittaha. One who is free from wrong notions about the self, one who is free from bondage, one who is free from sense of limitation centered on I, thereby one who is apravrittaha. Okay? One who is not involved in activities with doership and enjoyership. Apravrittaha. Apravrittaha. For such a person, nischala sthitihi tada. For such a person alone, we have to add the word manaha. Manasaha sthitihi nischala bhavati. You have to add the word manasaha. The condition of the mind, the state of mind of the wise person is what? Nischala. Nischala means absolutely tranquil, absolutely peaceful. The absolute peace of mind is enjoyed by the wise person who is not involved in activities with doership and enjoyership because he's having resolved his wrong notions about the self. Is it clear now? Who is nivrittaha? One who has freed himself from wrong notions about the self because of the right perception, right knowledge of the self. Thereby, one who is not involved in activities with the doership and enjoyership. And such a person has what is the condition of his mind, wherever he is, whatever he is doing, whatever situations are there, the world is the same world, continues to be there. But still, nothing afflicts his, shakes his peace of mind. Therefore, nischala sthitihi. There is no elation or dejection. There is no imbalance there. The mind is what? Nischala sthitihi means the tranquil mind. The mind, no? Condition of the mind is what? Apravrittasya jnani's mind is absolutely tranquil and peaceful. Absolute tranquility. Knowledge is absolute tranquility. Now we are learning a lot of things now. A lot of people write the words, quotations, no? You don't understand what they mean. Here you have to see that. In knowledge, there is absolute tranquility. The disturbances, commotions, restlessness, agitations are all what? Expressions of ignorance. A commotion-free, agitation-free, restlessness-free, calm mind, isn't it? Unafflicted mind is the tranquil serenity is only in jnanam. And here, what is the minister state of mind? The peace is a state of mind. Shantihi, you know, state, peace of mind. The tranquility is a state of mind. Means what is the state of mind of a jnani? The tranquility, the serenity, the calmness is a state of mind of a jnani. That my state of mind also is Brahma. Here, mokshaha, the freedom, the limitlessness, the happiness, the fullness, the absolute tranquility enjoyed by the wise person, which is a state of mind, is equated to Brahman here. Understand, mokshaha or peace is equated to Brahman. What is peace? We all talk about the peace, not P-A-E-C-E, P-E-A-C-E, peace, isn't it? There is no peace when you see yourself as a peace, isn't it? So, the peace is a state of mind. Tranquility is a state of mind. Serenity is a state of mind. What is that state of mind? Who enjoys that state of mind? Who experiences that joy, state of mind? State of mind belongs to whom? Wise person. Wise person's mind is an absolutely tranquil, serene mind, isn't it? That mind of a wise person, the state of mind of a wise person is Brahma. Why? For whom? For a wise person, for in whose vision everything is Brahman means, what about the peace of mind? What about the peaceful mind? Peace of the mind, peacefulness of the mind. Now, peace of mind. What is that? That is also Brahma. The tranquility enjoyed by a wise person is also Brahman for the wise person. We do not know. That is what is said in this verse. Saha Vishayaha Buddhanam. Saha Vishayaha means that object of experience. Saha Vishayaha, the object of experience. What is the object of experience? The absolute tranquility, absolute serenity, the peace, which is an object of experience, okay, which is experienced by the wise person, all the wise people, buddhanam vishayaha. What is absolute peace? What is absolute tranquility? Only the wise person knows. Okay? What absolute tranquility, the peace, which is experienceable only for the wise people. What is experienceable only for the wise people, not for ignorant person. That what this absolute tranquility, serenity, peace, which is experienceable only by the wise people, which is there only for the wise people, is also Brahman reality for the wise person. It's also Brahma. That is said where now he says, Tat Samyam Ajam Advayam. Samyam Ajam Advayam. Samya means that peace is also Brahman. What is that Brahman? Which is there equally, always, isn't it? Everywhere. Samyam. Ever the same, isn't it? Ajam, which is what? Ajam again is, which is of the nature of changelessness. The reality, there is no reality other than Turiyam, which you have arrived at, distinguishing it from Vishwa Tayasa Pragya. See, how did you arrive at reality? You have arrived at the reality, stumbled upon the reality through negating, through questioning who this experiencer Vishwaha is, who this experiencer Tayasaha is, I am the experiencer means the experiencer is obtaining of by Vishwa Tayasa Pragya is nothing, none other than Turiya Chaitanyam, which is distinct from Vishwa Tayasa Pragya, but which is not distant. Understand? The experiencer is consciousness. The Turiyam is Chaitanyam. Turiya Atma is consciousness. That consciousness is the reality, Brahman, limitless, which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is the non-dual. Consciousness is the only reality. Consciousness is the only non-dual reality. Consciousness is the only secondless reality. And consciousness is the only the reality which is of the nature of changelessness and which alone is the same always. Fire never becomes cold. It is intrinsic. Similarly, Samyam, the consciousness which is of the nature, the Atma, the Self, which is of the nature of consciousness always. Okay? Here you don't even talk about it. The reality is of the nature of consciousness. And that reality always which is of the nature of consciousness and which is the only secondless non-dual reality, Samyam, Advayam, which is of the nature of changelessness, that consciousness is the reality, Brahman, and that reality alone is in the form of absolute tranquility, which is experienced by the wise people, experienceable only for the wise people. Understand? That is also Brahman for the wise people. Is it clear? So where is tranquility? Knowledge is tranquility. But what do we do now? We search for Shanti where? Nimmati. Enge? Enge Nimmati. Isn't it? Where is Shanti? Shastram says, Shanti is you. You are not Shantaha. You are Shantihi. You are not peaceful. The peace is you. Tranquility is you. Serenity is you. Got it? For the wise people. Saha Buddhanam Vishayaha is what? Advayam, Ajam, Samyam, Turiyam, Chaitanyam. நீ தேடுகின்ற அமைதி நீயே. Okay, the peace you are searching for is you. Okay. I want to talk to you about Alatha Shanti. Okay, we had so many questions. No questions today? Okay, Purushottam had a question. Where is this Ajnanam located? Which is the cause of samsara. That is why we only understand initially Ajnanam is available for experience initially. Therefore we start. No? But without questioning where is Ajnanam, when did it come, when did it go, when does it go, etc. You know, if we just discovering the truth, Ajnanam will resolve. Ajnanam is not even there, isn't it? Then only you can ask where is it located. Suppose there's a person called, Hans is here. I can ask where does this person live? Whereas he is not even here. How can I talk about the person of his whereabouts when he doesn't even exist here? You can talk about the whereabouts of the person who exists. Any question?
Even if you are not dependent on the world for your happiness, fear is all there.
Emotionally you are not dependent, yeah. Physically?
You are still dependent on your physical existence.
Of course. See, what life is interdependence. What does that statement mean? mutual dependence, interdependence. Life is interdependence, isn't it? Physically, we are all dependent on each other. We all depend on the world. World is dependent on us. Understand now? The physical dependence nobody can deny. That is why you have to be prudent. We have to be prudent enough to live this life happily, understanding the dependence is something. But if you are emotionally independent, the physical dependence will not be a problem at all. You know, the problem, physical dependence is not the problem actually. The emotional dependence is the problem. See, physical dependence is something inevitable, unavoidable. We are all mutually dependent on each other, definitely. We are dependent on the world. The physical life is interdependence, isn't it? Therefore, physical dependence is, that is why the moratu ahankaram irukkudadu. That's why we have to be prudent enough, polite enough, intelligent enough, nice enough, good enough, righteous enough. Righteousness. If you know what is righteousness, what is dharma, what is morality, if you live your life in conformity with dharma, the physical dependence will not be a problem. But what is the problem? The emotional dependence is the problem. See, if you're emotionally free from dependence, the physical dependence can be beautifully managed. Emotional had to be independent. Of course, physical dependence nobody can deny. Certain objectivity, see, in jnanam, in emotional dependence itself is what? Freedom from emotional dependence. Emotionally being independent is in fact being objective. In objectivity, you are free. There is no affliction. Definitely there is no affliction.
Thank you.
Hunger is there. Emotionally, you are free. So, don't need to eat food or what? Isn't it? So, we do the needful. See, doing the right action, thoughtfully, you will be active in knowledge. In ignorance, you will be thoughtlessly reactive. But you do not know how to handle your needs. Natural urges, isn't it? That is why emotionally, if you are independent, means you can manage any physical requirements and needs. That's why I use the word, again, knowledge is absolute prudence. Have you answered the question?
Yes.
Are you all happy with the answer for his question?
Yes.
If you're not happy, I can answer it. I won't change the answer. I will repeat the answer. Because no other answer for that. Anything else? Okay.
Swami, once you acquire jnanam, you have to understand it. Your teaching now, you have to understand your teaching. And once you understand the teaching, you must inculcate the teaching. Isn't that Nidhyasanam? You must make it part of you and you part of that teaching and understanding.
Yeah, see, the Shravanam will help give you understanding, isn't it? The more and more you do Shravanam, the more and more thinnest layers of vagueness will be resolving. Even the class not doing anything now.
Yeah.
Already is out of the classes. But what happens, even the understanding here, this has to be repeatedly dwelt upon. You know, not mechanically. In fact, in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which I'm going to discuss hereafter, is going to be on contemplation. Thank God, I'm happy that I'm doing 6th chapter of Jnana Yajna also. I have stopped until the 18th verse. I had to start the 19th verse onwards. 18th verse onwards. 18th, 19th, and the 20th and 22nd. These verses mainly discuss the contemplation. And what is meditation? What is contemplation? What is even focusing? What is focusing? What is meditation? And what is absorption? I'm going to discuss in the class. And there you will understand what is Savikalpa Samadhi, what is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And how the Shravanam has to be followed by repeated dwelling. Isn't it? That repeated dwelling, which is called Nididhyasanam, will really help you resolve, shift the strong, I said this Abhinivesha. No, Abhuta Abhinivesha, isn't it? The Abhinivesha will resolve. Because strong notion is there, isn't it? It is not simply mechanically telling yourself. That's why we have the Shankar Bhagavatpada's Nirvana Shatka. We have the slokas and mantras. There we do have this, that mano buddhya hankara chittani naham. There you don't mechanically say that. Mechanical chanting is of no use. You must really see this. When you say, I am not the body, you also know what? The body is nothing but me. Which means, nothing but me means you are negating the objects. You don't say, I am not the body alone. When you say, I am not the body, you are saying there is no body other than myself. Which means you are negating the duality also. Isn't it? Which means there is no really, it's only just a temporary, the incidental. Isn't it? The incidental thing. So, that repeated dwelling will help you ascertain. That is when you can call it a jnanam. In fact, we are going to, the next lesson, next mantra which is going to follow, is that's what he is going to emphasize now. Exactly the next mantra, the next karika, the following karika, 81, 82 onwards, he is going to emphasize Nididhyasanam. Why he is going to say, I told even last class also, the two people are there, one person was not studied at all for the exam, he goes and writes the exam, he fails. One person who studied very well for the exam, but he forgets everything in the examination hall, he also fails. Isn't it? So in spite of making effort to know, you forget also, you fail. Therefore, for you to pass, you must have studied, you must have understood, you must have retained, you must remember in the examination hall. The whole life is examination hall. Every time test comes to you. A test comes, isn't it? Big, big problems in life come. Each situation is a big test. How you pass it, pass there or fail there. You have to remember. Remember. For which Nididhyasana is important. That is why first let us do the Shravanam. In fact, Shastram also says, you never ever try to contemplate until you are clear about what to meditate on. For we to become very clear about what to meditate on, until it becomes clear, keep on listening. Do Shravanam. Go back. Listen, 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 listen. It is very clear. Then you can meditate upon it. In fact, the next is going to emphasize Nididhyasanam. But what is Nididhyasanam? How to contemplate, etc. will be discussed in the 6th chapter Gita. I am going to do soon. Okay. Will be taught. I am going to do both hereafter. After this Mandukya and after 6th chapter Bhagavad Gita, I am going to do both. First guided meditation sessions, then also contemplation. Okay? And you will know, you don't need me for you to be contemplative. You don't need any teacher. Don't need anything. You can just be with the clear facts which you have understood. You understood the fact means you have to be with the fact. Being with the fact, being seated with yourself, is what? Contemplation. Isn't it? So, I'll teach here. We'll understand here. We exactly understand what is contemplation. How to, what do you mean by contemplation? We'll see in the, I'll be doing soon anyway. I'm waiting for this Mandukya to be over also. We'll be doing it. Afterward, I'll again summarize each chapter. Then it becomes very clear. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.